This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's great to have you with us for the Wednesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got 24 degrees right now, a wind chill index of 17. We'll have the five-day forecast coming up.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street on a day when the markets just keep rising. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
That's right, Cisco and Chris. Wow. The gains came as Fed Chair Jay Powell spoke to the Economic Club in New York. Investors are hopeful that Powell will slow the rate of interest rate hikes, and we see big gains. The Dow up 429 points. Earlier in the session, we were below 25K. Now we're at 25,176, a gain of 1.75%. The NASDAQ composite moving above 7,200, advancing 119 points. And the S&P above 2,700, gaining 36. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index also higher by 1.5%. Revised government data show the U.S. economy expanded at a healthy 3.5% pace in the third quarter. That was the same as the initial estimate. Business investment and inventory gains helped cushion the blow of the worst trade numbers since 1984. Also, new home sales dropped in October, running at the slowest pace since March 2016. The weakness was across the country. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thank you. On today's Noon Business Hour, we're going to be discussing today's Fed statement with economist Diane Swonk. And we have a list during the holidays, a list of scams to warn you about.
Yeah, how to avoid them as the end of the year gets closer. Personal Finance Wednesday is tipping protocol. Who do you give a tip to at the end of the year, and just how much does it have to be?
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Holiday season, it's a prime time of year for scam artists. We're going to be covering that in our next segment. Right now, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell has delivered a speech at the Economic Club in New York. While trade remains a hot topic ahead of Friday's opening of the G20 summit in Buenos Aires, we're joined by Diane Swonk, chief economist at Grant Thornton here in Chicago. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Diane. The markets really moved today on the Fed's statements. Tell us what we heard.
Well, I think the markets moved because Chair Powell, Jay Powell, actually said we're very close to neutral, to that tipping point where the economy is neither accelerating nor decelerating. And that gave financial markets some comfort that maybe the Fed won't have to raise rates as much as some had feared in 2019. I think that might be a little overread of what the Fed chairman is trying to say, because many within the Fed, there's a spectrum of views within the Federal Reserve on how they view not only the neutral rate, which some think is close to 3%, some think is higher than that, but also whether or not it will be appropriate to go beyond that neutral rate once they get there. So certainly financial markets, they are taking some solace in the idea that maybe the Fed is close to what they think is an endpoint, while the debate within the Fed is nowhere near as certain as financial markets are at this moment in time today.
Powell said the Fed was a long way from neutral a month ago, and today he said the interest rates are just below the level that would be neutral, and Wall Street likes that. It's Fed talk. What does that mean to consumers?
Well, for consumers, no matter what, the Fed seems pretty committed that it will raise rates on December 19th another quarter point, which is a doubling of short-term interest rates in the last year. So we are going to see higher rates no matter what, given what Chair Powell has said today, and at least one more rate hike in 2019. I think we're going to see much more than one more rate hike in 2019, that we probably move to three rate hikes in 2019. That said, you know, the Fed is now also getting very cautious about how it treads. It does know that it's close to neutral. It's going to need to calibrate whether it wants to go above or below that, and it's going to be very what it calls data dependent. It uses this word data dependence whenever it's uncertain about where they're actually at. They know they're in uncharted waters. They don't know the exact neutral rate. They have a spectrum of views on that. They got to corral the cats and come to a conclusion on that. And so in doing that, they're going to be, I think, some solace for Wall Street and for consumers is that rates are going up, but that the Fed could be more cautious in their rate hikes in 2019 than they were in 2018.
There is some talk that the president may seek a trade truce with China at the G20. A trade truce, is that good enough, or do we need some of these tariffs to go away?
Well, it certainly would be a step in the right direction, and we do need some of the tariffs to also go away. The question is whether or not the administration will move forward with the 25% tariffs on another $267 billion in goods from China that will mark up basically all the goods coming in from China at a very high tariff level, and that'll be a big change for the start of the year. The president has said he doesn't want to do that. We don't know. There's a lot of mixed messages coming out of the administration, whether this is a negotiating tactic, but I think one of the things that's very important is even if we hit the pause button and don't add a lot more additional tariffs at the G20, which would be welcome news to maybe take a little bit of tension out of those trade tensions that we're seeing with China, there still is a long way to go between here and getting to an agreement that everyone's happy with China. I think it's very important to understand that we're still in a geopolitical situation where we don't like a lot of what China is doing, and it's not clear that China would be willing to compromise in a way that we would like it. And given that huge gap geopolitically and where China wants to go in its dominance in the world, that makes it much harder because trade agreements are ultimately diplomacy as well as economics.
Yeah, and really getting them to the point where they agree that it's time to make some changes. And it sounds like some of these tariffs are not really, at least at this point, not having the intended effect.
They're not having the effect in terms of getting China to fully capitulate. And in some ways, there is this issue of, you know, President Xi in China in his role, and how is he seen and perceived at home? Is he seen as he's being bullied? There is a real pride issue here. There's a cultural issue, and that could backfire on our ability to get China to behave in a way, especially as they're only dealing with us. We do have other allies that don't like how China behaves, and we do have certainly people around the world that we trade with, and we are our trade allies that would like to join us and enforce China to go by the rules of the road that we all agree are necessary, particularly when it comes to intellectual property. That said, we've kind of burned some of those bridges because of the perspective we have towards bilateral agreements rather than multilateral agreements. So you lose the pressure of the peer group when you're just doing one-on-one agreements with each other. There's more chances for cheating, and there's more chances for people to have to deal with a whole multitude of different rules instead of all playing by the same rules.
Diane Swonk, thanks for joining us today. Diane is chief economist at Grant Thornton here in Chicago. Up next, avoiding scammers during the hectic holiday season.
Discussing the news affecting your money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's that time of year, gift buying. Unfortunately, along with that come scams. Let's get some help keeping things merry this holiday season. Joining us on the International Autos Orland Park business line, Jerry Irvine, CIO of Prescient Solutions, also a member of the Secret Service's Electronic Crimes Task Force based here in Chicago. Jerry, I would imagine as we see Wi-Fi networks all over the place, every store you're in, every restaurant you're in, that has to be one of the risks of people getting your information and taking advantage of you.
Yeah, absolutely. Publicly accessible Wi-Fis are a huge risk today. And actually, some stores and locations are using that information that your phone gives you to target you with specific advertisements as you're walking by their store. So the first time you log into their connection, they'll remember you from then on, and then you're going to get an email or you're going to get a text with information. But even worse is those hackers are out there, and they're listening to everything that's going on, so they can steal your user IDs, your passwords, and even your credit card information.
What are some of the gift card scams going on? I imagine that's pretty popular around the holidays.
Yeah, when you purchase a gift card, you're really safer to do it online. And to get the card from online in real time, as opposed to buying at the stores. If you do buy it at the stores, many times People are going in and grabbing information off of the back. Hackers are getting information basically in bulk from these, so that when you go in and enable it, you'll have your money initially, but the next day it could be all gone, and you've just paid the hacker to get all of your cash.
Well, everybody right now has got a credit card in their hands, eventually being used, today or tomorrow. So what, somebody's hearing this right now, what is the first thing to do to protect themselves?
Well, first off, don't use debit cards, okay? Don't use debit cards at your point of sale. Don't use them on the internet. The problem with these devices or these cards is that the bank may not always reimburse you for any stolen cash on there. And if they do, it could take a longer period of time. So your cash will actually be gone. You'll be bouncing your checks and everything else that are there. It causes a lot more trouble. When you do it with a credit card and there is a scam, they will have to reimburse you, and they can put a stop payment on there. It's not going to affect the rest of your money. Now, if you're buying things online, don't use all of your different credit cards. Find one credit card, use it, and make sure it's got a little, a smaller limit on it than you normally would. So if anybody does that, get that information, they're not going to steal as much. Just as important, use a paying system, something like PayPal or Google Pay or Visa Pay, even Apple Pay, all of these different ones. Rather than putting your real credit card number out on the internet, what they do is they send a transaction number. So the most that can ever be stolen is that amount of that transaction. It's a lot easier, a lot safer, and you only have one place to look for all of your outstanding payments.
Lots of great info. Thanks very much, Jerry. Jerry Irvine is CIO of Prescient Solutions, member of the Secret Service's Electronic Crimes Task Force in Chicago.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. A check of the markets from Bloomberg, sponsored by Elmhurst BMW. Here's Elisa Parenti.
I'm Elisa Parenti reporting from Wall Street. Do you have me?
We do.
Sorry for that delay. We have a rally here on Wall Street with the Dow higher by 485 points to 25,238. The Nasdaq is gaining 2% or 141 points, and the S&P higher by 43. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index rallying more than 1.5%. Now let's check in with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon, Lisa. Grain markets are higher. Soybeans are the supporting feature this morning. Short covering seems to be the dominant feature as funds were a little heavy on the short side. There was a fresh sale of 268,000 tons of beans at unknown destination, and the weather forecast is supportive due to damage taking place in unharvested areas. Corn futures are up 4 to 4.75, soybeans 12 to 13 cents higher, and the wheat market up 2 to 3 cents. This is Kurt Kimmel, Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Kurt. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are rallying today. We'll see what's moving the markets.
Personal Finance Wednesday, navigating the sometimes tricky landscape of holiday tipping.
Fed Chairman Jerome Powell describes the current interest rate level as just below neutral.
The number of Chicago area homes and businesses still without power after this week's snowstorm is just below 8,000.
On Wall Street, the Dow up 485 points, NASDAQ up 142, and the S&P is up 43.
And we've got right now 24 degrees. The wind chill is 17, going to a high temperature today of 26.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Markets are gaining ground today. To talk about it and see what's going on, we're joined by Mike Larson, senior analyst at WeissRatings.com in Jupiter, Florida. Mike, we had the markets, the Dow specifically, up about 200 points, and then it jumped about another 250 in just a few minutes, about an hour ago. I'm assuming this has something to do with the Fed.
Yeah, it certainly does. I mean, Chairman Powell came out and basically confirmed what some of the other Fed speakers had hinted at, which is that the path going forward for interest rates is not as certain now and not as definitive as it was for the past couple of years. The Fed's been on this normalization path where it's been gradually hiking 25 basis points at a time. And Powell suggested, you know, from here on out, probably after the December meeting when we're likely to hike again, or this was the implication of his speech, things will be a little more nuanced, a little more data-dependent, and so on. I do have a lot to say about whether or not that's bullish long-term in the markets. But certainly for the day right now, it's a good signal, and that's why we're rallying, you know, almost 500 points on the Dow.
In fact, when you talked about the Fed speak, just below neutral is what we heard today. What does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Fed is trying to define this sort of concept of a neutral rate of interest, meaning, you know, it's not enough that it's going to spike the punch bowl a little bit more for the economy, or it's not high enough that it's going to curtail the economy, or it's not too low that it's going to continue to spike the punch bowl. But this implication is that, you know, it may take another hike or a couple of hikes to get to neutral, where we're not, you know, not stimulating, nor are we holding back the economy. That's what they're talking about there.
Anything that you are especially concerned about?
Yeah, here's the problem I have with the narrative. The data doesn't really agree with the narrative, right? There's been three pauses and or halts in Fed hiking cycles going back the past quarter century. Precisely one of those out of three was bullish, and that was in the mid-1990s when the Fed halted and we had a soft landing in the economy. And then obviously the second half of the 90s was a great bull market. The other two times the Fed stopped after a rate hiking cycle was June 2006 and May 2000. Those were roughly around the peaks of the housing and dot-com bubbles, and the economy and the stock market pretty much rolled over not too long after. So again, you've got to be a little cautious chasing stocks here. And one last point I'd make out, back in December of 2000, I remember it well, the NASDAQ had the third biggest rally in history, gaining more than 10% on a suggestion that Alan Greenspan might cut interest rates the next year. Of course, over the following, 2 years, the NASDAQ plunged 80%. So we definitely want to, you know, just kind of be cautious and kind of understand that while we're told that Fed pauses are bullish, they aren't necessarily so.
Has the Fed really created a problem for itself and for investors in that when it keeps telling us what it projects that it's going to do and then it makes any sort of a change, it seems like some investors could get nervous, wondering what the Fed may know that we don't.
Sure. Well, I think we've obviously entered, and I believe it happened back in the January-February period, we've entered a period of heightened volatility, both up and down. And I think a lot of that stems from the fact that we knew for a period of years the Fed was going to sit on rates around zero. Then we knew the Fed was going to start raising at a relatively gradual, steady path. But now neither the Fed knows nor do investors know what's going to happen next. On any given Friday, if we get a very bullish or bearish employment report, for example, Fed expectations and markets are going to swing wildly. So that's a new environment. That just means the markets have to price in more uncertainty. That means we're all, as investors, going to have to get used to these kinds of whipsaws we're seeing, where the Dow can be up 500 points one day and down 500 points a few days later.
And we're talking about reaction to these numbers on Wall Street. Perhaps it has something to do with today. Tiffany's, which is one of our stocks, story stocks today, it sank 9.5% after the jeweler released disappointing third quarter sales. That is a lot.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I think with Tiffany, there's been some issues with demand and sales out of China. Wealthy Chinese buyers have been stepping back in terms of their luxury spending. That's been an issue for Tiffany specifically. But in terms of retailers in general, we've had some relatively lackluster news out of, say, Target and some weak stock performance in the retail sector. I think there are some concerns that, you know, this may be either the best it's going to get for holiday spending, or in fact, we may see a little bit weaker than people were looking coming into this. So I think the retail sector in general is kind of one you might want to stay away from. And I'd stick with the type of safer sectors I've been advocating really since the first quarter of this year. Things like defensive utilities, consumer staples, and so on. And it's worth noting over the last 6 months, those sectors have actually been outperforming the ones that we talk about a lot, including technology.
But as we look to some of those sectors, you're not necessarily doing it for growth. You're doing it just to kind of hold on while we ride some of this out.
Yeah, absolutely. I think at this stage in the economic and market cycle, you should be playing defense, not offense. These stocks offer more stability. They offer, in general, better ratings under our grading system. They offer nice dividend yields. And they're definitely not subject to these wild swings in earnings expectations and wild swings in value that you're getting with some of these more popular names in sectors like FANG.
I was just going to mention FANG. What about FANG?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, if you look at the performance of those stocks over the last few years versus the performance of the last 6 months, they were dramatic outperformers for quite some time, whereas nobody wanted anything to do with those safety defensive type names. But that's radically shifting in the last 6 months, and I think that's going to be the story going into next year. Because again, in a late cycle environment where, you know, growth is likely to slow, and there's potential for, you know, other credit blowups to happen, things like GE, you're going to see investors start to move their money into defensive stocks. And I think that's a smart move for individual investors as well.
Well, some of those technology stocks, some are already giving dividends, but will others have to start giving dividends and maybe even stepping them up in order to be attractive?
Well, you know, I think that you're likely to see some strategy shifts in that sector. I mean, there's been a lot of stock buybacks, you know, plowing earnings and cash generation back into growing the business. But I think at some point as those companies mature, yes, they're going to look for other ways to attract investors. And if investors continue to rotate into dividend-paying defensive stocks, you're going to see the tech CEOs say, you know, we've got to try and attract some of that capital. So we're going to be boosting our dividends. But so far, again, and I think for the foreseeable future, your better yields are going to be available in those sectors I mentioned earlier.
Mike Larson, senior analyst at WeissRatings.com. Thanks, Mike, for being with us. Coming up, Personal Finance Wednesday. How do you know who to tip and how much to tip as you're heading for the holidays?
Investing 60 minutes each weekday toward planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday here on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Geiger Wealth. Today we're getting some tips on tipping. Here to help out during the holiday season is Elaine Swan, an etiquette expert, founder of the Swan School of Protocol in Carlsbad, California. Her website, swanschoolofprotocol.com. Elaine, thanks for being with us. The first thing we need to know before we find out how much to tip and what's appropriate in that realm is who do we tip at the holidays? Because there are a lot of people who help us out throughout the year.
Yeah, that's so true. And that's the key right there, is to determine who helps you throughout the year. You want to tip those individuals who really help to make your life simple. They simplify your life. They help you throughout the year. That's how you determine who gets money during this holiday season.
So if you still get a newspaper at home, it's that person. You're talking mail carrier, people who are there throughout the year.
Absolutely. It's your mail carrier. It's your personal trainer. Perhaps your babysitter, maybe even your doorman at your apartment where you live. Individuals who really kind of go above and beyond throughout the year, because more often than not, these individuals, they might make an hourly wage from you, or you probably pay them for their service. But when people are in the service business, they always tend to go above and beyond. And so it's this time of year that you want to show your gratitude and appreciation.
And who would we not be tipping?
You don't want to give money to the mail carrier, because that's against the law, and you don't want to get in trouble. So you don't want to give money to your mail carrier. But you can give them a gift. But federal guidelines say that the gift can't be anything more. The value of the gift can't be more than $20.
All right. Any other categories where it's not such a good idea?
You know, I would say, also the other category is with your child's teacher. As far as teachers are concerned, you don't give teachers money either. I mean, so definitely err more so on the side of a gift as far as teachers are concerned.
Don't bribe the teacher.
No, you just give money every day throughout the year.
Don't bribe the teachers for a better grade for your little one.
So how much?
Save it till college.
Yeah, we'll need it, right? How much?
Exactly. Take that money and put it into their college fund. Instead, give the teacher a gift. Or you can gather with the other parents and do kind of a collective gift as well, a collective gift from all of the parents to the teacher themselves.
Yeah, we've done some of that. Yeah, that's good. So what about, depending on all these different people, how do we know how much to give them?
Right. So with individuals who provide a service for you, let's say, for example, it's your personal trainer, you would give them a tip that's the cost of one session. The pool cleaner, if you have someone that cleans your pool or what have you, same thing, the cost of a session. If you have a daycare provider or a babysitter, the same thing. So that's how you can kind of gauge it as far as that's concerned. Now, when you get to, for example, your hairstylist or your barber, anywhere from $10 to $60, and a nice small gift is always a great way to give during the holiday season.
The people in the office at my condo have an estimate of how they feel you should pay based on how many bedrooms you have, et cetera. So that gives some help.
Really?
Yep.
That's good.
So they're asking they're giving you all a guideline, because if they're giving guidelines on how much you should give, then I don't know. I don't really, I you know, the, we want to make sure that as far as tipping is concerned, it's something that's done more so out of gratitude and appreciation and not necessarily out of obligation.
I think
so
this was meant
kind of giving you guidelines. I think that's taken it a little bit too far.
Yeah, I think this also was to include some of the people that you don't see every day who are doing work in the building.
Yeah, it's good
right,
insight.
Right, the porters and so forth. Yeah, that's really great. It's very helpful. But I don't know if they should put, you know, I think it should be up to the resident as opposed to the management and the staff.
Yeah, Elaine, very good advice. Thank you so much. Elaine Swan, founder of the Swan School of Protocol, joining us on Personal Finance Wednesday. Some help with holiday tipping. This time tomorrow, Technology Thursday, still to come. An expert on the Fed discusses Chairman Jerome Powell's comments today on interest rates.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell's speech today at the Economic Club in New York included comments on interest rates. And joining us on the International Autos Orland Park business line, David Jones, chairman of DMJ Advisors in Denver and author of the book Understanding Central Banking. Nice to have you on the show again, David. Fed Chairman Powell says he sees current interest rate level as just below neutral. Let's again, what does that mean?
Well, you picked out the key phrase. The market loved that statement. What it means is the Fed's key policy rate, the federal funds rate, is just below a range that the Fed chairman considers neutral. That would be between 2.5% and 3.5%. The rate right now is 2 to 2.25%. So the market was happy to hear we're close to that normal range. The other thing the market was very happy to hear was that there's no preset rate increase path, which really means the Fed's going to be data dependent, particularly next year.
And we kept hearing that term, data dependent. This really proves that that's not just talk.
That's exactly right. Sometimes it is. Your skepticism is well-based. But I really think that Chairman Powell is not exactly sure where within that 2.5% to 3% range the actual normal or neutral rate is. So I think what he'll do is it's almost guaranteed he'll give us one more quarter point hike in December. I think that meeting's on the 18th and 19th of December, but then he might pause as we go into next year and try to see whether or not he is at or at least close to neutral. That would mean a rate that neither stimulates nor depresses the economy. He's a little bit uncertain about where that exact level is, and it will depend on how the economy's doing next year.
David Jones, that's great insight. We're going to have you back tomorrow for a deeper dive, not only into Fed policy, but also what's going on in the wider economy. So we look forward to talking with you again tomorrow at noon. David Jones, chairman of DMJ Advisors, also author of the book Understanding Central Banking. The markets are surging. We'll tell you how high. Bloomberg next. WBBM News Time, 12:55. Wrapping up the noon business hour with a check of Wall Street at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco Fed Chief Jay Powell spoke at the Economic Club of New York a short while ago, talking about a solid outlook for the U.S. economy. His counterpart in London says the Bank of England is assuming Britain's exit from the EU will be orderly. All of that sounded very good to Wall Street, and it's a runaway rally. The Dow up 544 points or 2% higher to 25,294. NASDAQ gaining 2.3% or 167. S&P also rallying higher by 50 points. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg now gaining almost 2%. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.